everyone. And I know I see a lot of new faces, or at least ones that I don't think I know. And welcome to you all. Those of you who were here for the Kriya initiation last night, just a joy to be with you all and be in this energy that is spilling over. So bless you all. I'd like to read from Whispers from Eternity, and this is by Yogananda, and it's called Dance in Me, Thy Dance of Infinity. So he has a lot of fun with this one, you'll see. O Mother Divine, I have learned to love thy dance of destruction, for I see now that what is destroyed is my own ignorance and folly. Thou hast shattered again and again with thy war dance of destruction my fragile cage of bones and flesh and consigned it to crematory flames. Thou hast done so smilingly to show me and everyone that our souls are ever free and cannot be burned or broken. With thy mercy thou hast stripped away, sometimes seemingly with harshness, but always with loving purpose, the countless hardened, mud-encrusted covers of delusion that coated us. I appreciate now thy dance of devastation, Mother. Together let us cremate my every desire, frailty, weakness, and finitude forever and ever. I'll join thee laughing in thy dance of evil's destruction, O Mother, since nothing more is left of my finiteness for thee to destroy, dance in me thy dance of infinity and of cosmic love. So he had a lot of fun with that one. So our subject today is we are children of the light. And I know we all preface these topics every Sunday as very important, especially important, the most important. But surely this has to be one of the most important ones. We are children of the light. We live in this world of opposites, and every day we're faced with these, with joy, with sorrow, with sickness, with health, with death, with life, and on it goes. And, you know, Yogananda said an interesting thing. He said when he came into this incarnation, it was like putting on a heavy overcoat on a hot day. At first, it feels very, very uncomfortable, confining, and then you just get used to it. It is what it is. And that's a great ability, truly, to rise above it and just, you know, not be too affected by things. But it's also very mesmerizing. And we experience these opposites, and we tend to perceive ourselves in that way as well. We're healthy, we're not healthy. We're kind, we're not so kind. We're sick, we're well, we're worthy, we're unworthy. And it's not always so helpful when we make that kind of identification. I was remembering when I was very young, one of my grandmothers came to live with us. And she was unable to walk. She'd broken both hips. Hip surgery wasn't something in that time. And she came to live with us. She was very affirmative, always of the light. Many years after her passing, my mother unearthed some books of hers, a copy of the autobiography, a copy of scientific healing affirmations. She had checked every one of those affirmations with a little blue pen. A book of Gandhi's prayers and Ma as Seen by Her Devotees, which is a book about Ananda, the life of Ananda Moy Ma, whom Yogananda spoke of in his autobiography. And I asked my mother if she was a disciple. I, She knew nothing of it. She just recognized that these were books I would probably like to have. But the only thing I remember, because I was very young, the only thing I remember her ever saying to me was, "Your life will be very blessed." I don't know if she was being prophetic. If she was, it's true. My life is very blessed. If it was a casual statement, much like we'd say, "Have a good day," or something, that's true too, because my life is very blessed. But the thing is this, the life of each one of us is very blessed. And anyone could have said that on behalf of any one of us, because we're living a life, an incarnation, in which we are interested in seeking a higher reality. We want something more. We're not mesmerized by this world any longer. And we're able to make that distinction about life and for ourselves. We want something more. And we've come in with that. We've come in with that longing. We've come in with that purpose. And our life is very blessed. I was exchanging emails with someone not living here at the village the other day, and they said to me, in regards to participation perhaps in a particular program, well, it was that, I feel very unworthy to do this at this time, therefore give my space to somebody else. And isn't it true that we, to the extent that we identify with the opposites, that we identify with duality, we sometimes feel this way about ourselves? And what does that do? What does that do when we think that way or feel that way? We don't act. We're prevented from acting by our own ego. We think we're unworthy, therefore I can't do it. I am not capable. I will not succeed in it, and on it goes. And so it's very important, this subject today, we are children of the light, that we really, as disciples, as seekers of truth, it's something that we find ourselves having to rally around periodically to a greater degree, because we're thinking, okay, maybe I'm not worthy of such and such. And we have to rally the energy. It's why we come together for Sunday service. It's why we come together for satsang and so many shared activities, to be around each other's light and to remember that that light is also within us. There's a beautiful section in this book, Whispers from Eternity, in the beginning. And Yogananda addresses the cosmic motion picture of life. And I really encourage you to read that. It's just, you come away, you can't possibly take it all seriously. I mean, he just talks about how we're all actors in this cosmic movie. And he uses that analogy of the cosmic movie of which we're all a part. And we play a part. We play a part, we become that part for a little bit. But then we exit that part. It's not meant that we become fully enmeshed in that consciousness. We're just playing a part. It's a part. And our real part is that we are children of the light. And we're just playing temporarily this other part. And if we can have that consciousness about life, we're able to step back a little bit. We're able to not take it so seriously. We're able to, Yogananda said to his disciple, Rajasi Janakananda, destroy this dream with one blow of your wakefulness. I simply love that. it's very powerful and it's very true. He's saying, just wake up to that thought. I am a child of the light. And the darkness flees, the confusion flees. You're able to see it as a play. You're playing a part, and tomorrow it's going to be a different part. Next week it's going to be a different part. And, someone once said to Swami Kriyananda, it looks like you've had so many challenges in your life, so many tests. You know, how is it possible to live such a life? And he just said, what tests? You know? And he wasn't trying to be silly. He wasn't trying to not acknowledge certain very challenging circumstances in his life. Of course there were challenging circumstances. Of course there were tests, and big tests, you know, things that we would sort of cower away from. But he had that consciousness of being a child of the light, and he was able to just keep a relative distance from it, not identify with it. And that's where we want to be able to just step back and watch the cosmic movie of our lives. Very entertaining. And the other thing he says is just, you know, what we all know to be true, we need to elevate our consciousness. If we can elevate our consciousness, if we can destroy that dream bubble with our wakefulness, then the reality that we are children of the light is very easy to embrace. It's very natural. It's very organic. It's who we are. We are that. That is our reality. That's our purpose. It's why we've come into this incarnation. There is a story of a great sage, Vyasa, and Yogananda told us that it was Vyasa whom he tuned into to write his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. Vyasa wrote the original Gita. And so Yogananda wrote this commentary, and Vyasa had a son, Sukhdeva. And while his wife was pregnant, while Sukhdeva was in the womb, Vyasa taught him, gave him all the teachings. He wanted him to come into this world well-versed in truth and have a head start. And so he would share all, you know, scriptural teaching with him. And so when Sukhdeva was born, I mean, he came in, he was moving, you know, he was going to God. And at about age 7, that wisdom fully came to the fore, and he decided he was leaving home. He was going to find his guru. He was going to get on with his spiritual life. And Vyasa could have been his teacher. I mean, he was a great, great yogi and very wise, but he recognized, you know, the validity of this inclination. And he let his son Sukhdeva go, but he said, go to King Janaka, and he's a great man, and he can give you the guidance you're looking for. He can be your guru. Interestingly enough, Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, said that King Janaka was Lahiri Mahashai in an earlier incarnation, so close to home. So Sukhdeva gets there, and you know, he's already sort of a little on tilt, because how can this king, how can this worldly person be my guru? So he's got a little edge, and he comes in, and of course King Janaka knows this, he senses this, he's quite aware, and he tests Sukhdeva a number of times. And to show Sukhdeva that he needs to be more humble, for one, less attached to one, and more receptive, you know, many, many things. But one of these tests, King Janaka gives Sukhdeva two lamps to hold. And these are oil lamps, one in each hand, the palm of each hand. And they're lit and they're burning. And he says, take these lamps and go around the inside of my palace, and it's massive, many rooms, many things. And he says, go around and observe everything and come back and tell me what you see. But you must not drop a single drop of oil. You must not spill a single drop of oil. And Janaka sends Sukhdeva on this journey around the inside of the palace with an attendant whose job it is to make sure those oil lamps are always full, because they're burning, they're using oil, they're always full, and that Sukhdeva doesn't drop a single drop of oil. So this takes Sukhdeva a couple hours, and he travels around the inside, and he comes back, and he's very excited because he hasn't dropped a single drop of oil. And Janaka asks him, well, what did you see? Tell me what you saw in each of the rooms. And Sukhdeva says, you've got to be crazy. I've been so concentrated on not dropping any oil at all on the carpets that there's a few things here and there, but I couldn't do any more than that. And Janaka says, okay, go back again. Do not spill a single drop and notice everything, all the detail, and come back and tell me. And so Sukhdeva sets off again. The attendant is there with him to make sure the oil lamps are full. And he goes around. It takes him 10 hours this time. But he comes back very calm, very calm, very, as we would say as yogis, in the spine, just very calm. And he presents the lamps to King Janaka, and he says, I have not spilled a drop. The attendant vows for that. And Janaka says, tell me what you see, every detail, everything, in every room. And Sukhdeva was able to tell him everything. And so, he passed that test, and Sukhdeva did, through multiple tests, see the great wisdom, the infinite wisdom of King Janaka, and he became his disciple. But I thought of this story, and it's a very powerful one. It teaches many lessons, but the one that made me want to tell it was that we have to stay focused on that truth. We are children of the light. We cannot let that go. We cannot let that oil of knowledge, of inner wisdom, spill from the oil lamp. We have to hold on to that, because that's what's going to allow us to navigate through this plane of opposites. Many years ago, when Anant and I were living in Sacramento, it was during a time, it was a challenging time for all of us. It was a challenging time for Ananda, and Ananda was fighting for its right to be disciples of Paramahansa Yogananda. We were fighting for the right to be able to share these teachings, and it was an intense time. And Swamiji had come down. He was headed somewhere. He would often stay with us, and he was staying with us, and in the middle of the night, he had his own apartment. In the middle of the night, I suddenly woke up. There was this oppressive darkness just pushing me down. And the thought I had was, my reality is the light. My body jumped up in one piece off the bed and then just fell down. So I was awake. But I had said inside, my reality is the light, and it all went. And the next morning, I asked Swamiji how he'd slept, and not very well. And I explained to him what happened, and all he said was, interesting. And he didn't say any more. It was clear he didn't want to say any more. I don't know if it meant anything. I don't want to read too much into it, but it was interesting timing, and what was so memorable about it for me was it was that quick. My reality is the light, and everything else was gone. And when we live in that consciousness, when we can be in that truth, it's there for us. It's there for us when we need it. It's there for us when we realize it is difficult. It's very difficult to navigate this stage of opposites. And that comes to the fore because it's what we're made of. It's our default consciousness. We are children of the light. And I'll share one other thing with you. When I was reflecting on this, I thought of Swami Kriyananda's meeting with Yogananda. And you might recall, if you've read his autobiography, The New Path, Swamiji shares about that meeting, that he asked Yogananda, "I want to be your disciple." And Yogananda said to him, "Will you give me your unconditional love?" And Kriyananda answers, "Yes." And then he says, "Will you give me your unconditional obedience?" And Swamiji answers, "Yes." And I was reflecting on that. I think for any of us who are, whether we're following a teacher or a guru, or whether Yogananda is our guru, this sharing, you know, Swamiji telling us this, writing about this, it's a very powerful point of reflection for the student and for the disciple, because God is presenting himself through that channel, and the opportunity is, do I want to receive this? Am I ready to receive this? Do I believe that I can receive this? Do I believe that I am worthy? And to really be able to say yes, we have to know inside ourselves that we're children of the light. We can't really answer those questions. We can answer them superficially. We can answer them intellectually. You know, we can answer them on a wish or a hope. But to really be able to answer those just clearly, yes, we have to know that we're children of the light. We have to know that we are capable of doing that. And that's why this subject is so, so very important, because to the extent that we can experience that internally, we can move forward spiritually. It's all about reclaiming that and identifying with that. You know, we are worthy, we are capable, we can realize this. Jyotish, last week in the Sunday service at Easter, he asked us the question, why? Why would a master, like a Jesus Christ, because last week was Easter, why would they come back and do this? I mean, we could think of 1,000 reasons, 1,000,000 reasons, why not to do this, you know? And they would all be real enough. Yet they come back. And they come back, as he said, they come back to show us that we can. That's their whole purpose. And it's our whole purpose for being here. I mean, we can name a lot of other reasons, but the only purpose why we're here, the only reason why we're here, is to live that truth, that we are children of the light. You are all children of the light.
There's joy in the heavens, a smile on the mountains, a melody sings everywhere. The clouds are all laughing to welcome the morning. Soul is as free as the air. The flowers are all laughing to welcome the morning. Your soul is as free as the air. Leave home in the sunshine,
dance through a meadow,
or sit by a stream and just be. The lilt of the water will gather your worries and carry them down to the sea. Dungeon is only the thought that they're bound. Desires are their shackles, the hope that tomorrow the doorway to joy will be found. Desires are their shackles, the hope that tomorrow the doorway to joy will be found.
There's joy joy all around us.
Why wait till tomorrow?
We've only this moment to live. The heaven within us is ours for the finding, a freedom no riches can give. The heaven within us is ours for the finding, a freedom no riches can give. There's joy in the heavens, a smile on the mountains, and melody sings everywhere. The flowers are all laughing to welcome the morning. Your soul is as free as the air. The flowers are all laughing to welcome the morning. Your soul is as free as the air. The flowers are all laughing to welcome the morning. Your soul is as free as the air.
The strangeness of this world made her sigh. Her friends asked their fathers for money and clothes, but all she could ask was, explained it all wisely away, but still her heart wondered why. She saw the silent stars thrill the night. They seemed some wondrous truth to imply. Her elders all slept, but the magic of light awoke her to ponder.
In love, she at last learned.